Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
When Jesus delivered the greatest sermon ever preached, Sermon on the Mount, he didn't beat around the bush in his introduction at all. He did not start with a few jokes to warm up the crowd or to build a rapport or anything like that. He wasted no time. The very first line of the sermon, Jesus pinpoints the most essential fundamental difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world. He just nailed it right on the head. What Jesus lays down in the first beatitude, It's the foundation. It's not only the foundation for the rest of the Beatitudes, it's the foundation for the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, but it's also the foundation of the whole gospel. It's the centerpiece. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. That is the message. You can find that message everywhere in Scripture. You can find it in everywhere. You can find it in the Law of Moses, you can find it in the Psalms, you can find it in the Proverbs, you can find it in the Prophets, you can find it in the Epistles. Everywhere you look in God's Word, it's repeated again and again and again. God really wanted to make sure that we understood that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. That God's system is completely reversed from this world. It's upside down from what this world looks at. And so it's no surprise at all that that's the beginning point of the Sermon on the Mount. And not only does Jesus lay the foundation for his message here, at the same time, he's striking a blow at the world's philosophy, because the world's philosophy is the opposite. Jesus is at war with the philosophy of this world. The spiritual warfare that you read about in 2 Corinthians 10 and various places in Scripture is a warfare about doctrine, ideas, truth, and error. And right out of the hatch in this sermon, Jesus draws a bead on the very bedrock foundation of the whole superstructure of the worldly, natural, human thinking. Jesus isn't just lobbing a missile at some random place in the world's kingdom here. He goes right at the foundation. He just goes for the jugular in the very first sentence of his sermon. We're right dead center in the middle already of the core of the Christian message, and right in the middle of the heat of the battle where the fighting is the most fierce between us and the enemy and the most crucial. So we're right in it now, right off the bat. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, Jesus opens his mouth to preach, and his very first sentence, he drops a bomb on the listeners. And this is a bomb. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This word poor, I mentioned this last week. The word poor, tokos, is the Greek word. It refers to total destitution. It's not a person having a hard time making ends meet. It's a person who can only survive if he begs or someone takes care of him, if he accepts charity. He has no resource at all. He cannot work his way into survival. It's a person who either just has to accept charity or die. In fact, it's interesting. The literal meaning of this particular word, tokos, is to cower or crouch. It's just a picture of a beggar who's just, he's cowering because he's ashamed. He didn't want anybody to see his face. He doesn't want anyone looking at him because he knows what they see when they look at him will be something awful, and so he's just crouching. The word is associated with misery. People usually became this poor and this destitute only when something horrific happened to them. You know, some terrible disease or injury or something like that. And so it became kind of just an ugly thought. In fact, this word became an offensive word. The classical Greek writers like Philo, for example, wouldn't even use this word. They shied away from it because it was just offensive. But Jesus takes this rough, offensive term about abject poverty and misery and says, happy are the people who are like that in spirit. In spirit. In spirit means on the inside. On the inside. It's not poverty of the wallet, it's poverty of the heart. He's talking about in the heart. And get used to that, by the way, that you're going to, over and over in this sermon, Jesus is going to keep doing that. He's going to constantly point right back into your heart, to the inside. One of the main purposes of the Sermon on the Mount, as we said last time, is to correct the error of externalized religion. Religion that governs your actions but doesn't touch your heart. That kind of thing Jesus hated, and he's always fighting against that, and a huge part of this sermon is to fight against that. That kind of religion, the kind of religion that governs your actions and not your heart, is worse than worthless. And so if you like privacy, and you don't want anybody poking around, nosing around inside your heart, you've come to the wrong place. Sermon on the Mount is not for you. Jesus is just relentless in exposing the heart. He's just going to rip it open. So the poor in spirit are the people who have nothing going for them, total bankruptcy in the area of the heart, religion, and spiritual things. They have nothing to commend themselves to God. No argument they can bring before God in their behalf. So the first sentence in the Sermon on the Mount is a shock. I mean, it's a shock. It wouldn't surprise me if there were a lot of folks there who never even heard the rest of the sermon. They heard that first line and they're just rattled and they're just distracted by that, thinking about that the whole rest of the time. I mean, this would just blow you away. If you can imagine the scene, just look back at chapter 4. Look at your Bible. Look back at chapter 4, verse 24, so we can set the scene here, so you can get a feel for this. Verse 24, Matthew 4, 24. News about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. So this crowd, it's a pretty pathetic bunch, right? I mean, it was full of people who were physically tokos, poor. I mean, this offensive word, these are the folks that this word refers to. When people got word that Jesus was a healer, they brought the most pathetic, messed up bunch of basket cases from all over Syria. And that's this crowd. The whole crowd is made up of these people. And so you're there. Imagine you're standing there. Jesus is there on the mountain. He's getting ready to make this address. And you're kind of there. You're stepping off to the side a little bit just to get away from the stench of, and kind of averting your eyes, because it's just hard to see that much misery gathered all in one place. And it's just hard to take in. And so you're kind of off to the side and you're listening to Jesus. And he's getting ready to preach. And very first thing out of his mouth, very first thing he does is he points to the worst of the worst and the most disgusting of the disgusting in that crowd of losers. And he says, do you see them? Blessed are the people who are like that on the inside. That is a radical statement. I mean, it's just revolutionary to what this world thinks. Those people who look inside themselves, Jesus said, and they look down deep and find nothing, they have it made. That's what you should strive for. Just imagine how powerful that was. The great Davidic king. They've been waiting for this king to arrive for 1,000 years. He finally arrives, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and they're ready to ride with him into victory. And his big slogan is, mine will be a kingdom of beggars. It's the first campaign promise that he makes. I will take you from riches to rags. I mean, I'll take you straight to the bottom. Join up with me. Or probably more accurately, my kingdom is a kingdom made up of those who are already at the bottom. That's us. Now, I need to alert you here to a rhetorical device that Jesus is using here. Turn to Matthew 9. Because you can get a little bit confused about this. Jesus says the kingdom is for the poor in spirit only. It refers to, when he says the kingdom refers to the poor, belongs to the poor in spirit, he means it belongs to those people who realize they're poor in spirit. Everybody's bankrupt in spirit, right? Everybody. The most proud person in the world is actually bankrupt in spirit. Nobody's rich in spirit in and of himself. We're all destitute. What Jesus is saying is the kingdom belongs only to those who realize that they're destitute in spirit, the ones who can see it and acknowledge it. You see, there's only two kinds of people in the world, those who are poor in spirit and know it, and those who are poor in spirit and don't know it and think they're rich. So blessed in the poor in are the poor in spirit means blessed are those people who realize their poverty. You say, well, are you sure of that? Does Jesus do that other times? Yeah, I'm going to show you a couple other times he does that. He uses this technique fairly often. Look at Matthew 9:11. Verse 11 says, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, what's Jesus saying? Is he saying these Pharisees, they're righteous, they're actually holy and righteous and healthy, and they don't need Jesus because they've got it made on their own? No. We're all sick sinners, especially the Pharisees. What Jesus is saying is he came to heal those who realize that they're sick and who realize that they're sinners and lost. He says, that's who I have something to offer to. The people who don't acknowledge it, I don't have anything for you. Everyone's sick and lost, those who don't realize it, and imagine they don't need a Savior. They're pretty good on their own. Those people are shut out of Jesus' kingdom. They cannot be saved as long as they're like that. Turn over to Luke 15. I'll show you one more example. Here we see the same problem again. Self-righteous Pharisees grumbling over Jesus accepting repentant sinners. That's what we see in the first two verses of Luke 15. Jesus accepting these repentant sinners, and these Pharisees, self-righteous Pharisees, are grumbling over it. And in verse 7, look at Luke 15, 7. Jesus said, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You can put that word righteous in quotation marks. That's his point. Is not, he's not saying you grumbling Pharisees are righteous and therefore you don't need the cross, you don't need grace. His point is there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who realizes what he is, who realizes he's a sinner, than over 99 people like you, Pharisees, who don't think you need to repent. Paul does the same thing in the book of Romans. Romans 5:20 says the law was added so that trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. What is he saying? Is he saying God's up there in heaven saying, how can I get these people to sin more? Oh, I know, I'll give them the law. See if I can get them sinning. No. We were all sinning just fine. There was plenty of sin for the law. When it says the law was added so that sin might increase, it means that the law was added so that the awareness of sin might increase. The sin was already there. The evil was already there, but we didn't realize it because the law wasn't around to point it out. And so the purpose of the law was to increase awareness of sin. Romans 7:13, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful in our eyes. Romans 3:20, through the law we become conscious of sin. That's the point. See that? So the point of Matthew 5:3, if you want to go back to Matthew 5, is blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who realize their destitution spiritually. And the more of the spiritual poverty you become aware of, the more blessed you are. The rich in spirit are not people who have a lot of spiritual resources. The rich in spirit are people who think they have a lot of spiritual resources, and those people are excluded from Jesus' kingdom.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. And if it is, why not tell a friend about the podcast so they can grow too? If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Just go to the treasuringgod.com website and click on Contact. There's also a giving tab on that site. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.